Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Well, it's certainly tough to welcome you guys to another episode of Locked On Pelicans, but here we are after a terrible home loss to the 76ers. The final score was 99-88. The Pelicans scored 88 points at home against the now 5-18 Philadelphia 76ers, and what has to be the lowest point of the season so far, probably the lowest point of, including last season, I'd say, and maybe this is probably one of their worst losses I think they might have ever had, you know, since Monty Williams took over, you know, what is that, 7 years ago now. So this might be, we might call this the angry cast. A lot of people right now are calling for Alvin Gentry's head to fire him, probably fire everyone with this Pelicans organization. We'll see if that happens. So basically, this is what we're talking about tonight. We'll talk about the game, some what went wrong. There was a lot that went wrong. If you watched the game, you know. If you didn't watch the game, good for you. If you probably had a happier night than most of the people who did watch the game. It's fun to watch live basketball. That was not a fun game to watch last night against the 76ers. And then in the second half, we'll probably break down what are the chances of Gentry going, what are the chances of Dell Demps going. Is Gentry really to blame? Is it Dell Demps to blame? Someone's got to take the blame. Is it the players? That might fall under Demps. So you guys know what we're going to talk about. This isn't going to be an optimistic, happy podcast for your Friday. We're going to start the weekend off on a bad note, and I'm sorry, you know, for that. But blame the Pelicans. Not my fault. I'm just the guy that talks that you guys listen to, hopefully in the mornings when this comes out at 6 a.m. So speaking of coming out at 6 a.m., don't forget Locked On Pelicans is 5 days a week. No one's giving you this type of info. No one's going to, you know, probably scream into a microphone like I'm going to do and wake up neighbors right now. This is recorded after the game. Heat of the moment. So, you know, make sure you're subscribing. It's on iTunes. It's on Audio Boom. It's on Stitcher, whatever podcast app you want to use. It's all there for you. There's even a Twitter account for it. It's at Locked On Pels. I'm your host, Jake Madison. I even forgot to say my name. I'm so frustrated with this Pelicans team right now. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Also a writer for BourbonStreetShots.com, where we're going to have up a pretty interesting Pelicans scoop, we call them. It's really a roundtable with our writers. You know, talking about different topics with the team. There's a pretty good one up there today if you're interested in anything about Buddy Hield's development, AD's minutes. Which team has a brighter future, the Sixers or the Pelicans? You know, it's interesting because they went about building the team the different way. So, guys, know what we're going to talk about today. We're just going to dive, you know, right on into it. So before I go into, you know, whether Gentry stays, goes, whether Demp stays, goes, what, you know, what the hell's going on behind the scenes with this team, we do want to talk about this game. The Pelicans came in as an 8-point, 9-point favorite. They lost by 11. It's bad. Philadelphia has the worst offense in the league, maybe had. I don't know how it's going to change after this game. They put up a 103.4 offensive rating tonight. Pretty good. You know, pretty good. The Pelicans' defense was just an absolute mess. I don't know how to say it in any other ways. And, you know, same thing we've always seen. So, huge problem was the 76ers, again, who have the worst offense in the league, managed to grab 11 boards. Not good. They had a 23.4 offensive rebound percentage. Meant the Pelicans were at 76.6% on the defensive glass. I've always said they need to be around 80%. That 4% was a big deal here tonight. You saw them miss shots, grab an offensive rebound, keep kicking it around before eventually they got an open three or a look inside. When you have a bad offensive team, you can't keep giving them second chances on possessions. You need to end those possessions by grabbing defensive boards. Pelicans didn't really do that. They only forced 8 total turnovers on the night. It's just bad defense. So one of the reasons they put up such a good offensive rating was perimeter defense was still a problem. And you're probably thinking three-point shooting when I say that, but that's actually not the case. The Sixers shot 30% from three tonight. They were 12 of 40. They take a lot of attempts. 40 attempts is pretty high. Pelicans only had 25 by comparison. But 12 of 40 for 30%. They don't mind. They want to keep shooting because they know some of these looks will eventually fall. If they hit 30%, they still made 12 threes. That's a lot. That's good for them. They're not too concerned about that, especially in a year where they're not necessarily competing for the playoffs. So what I mean by perimeter defense being a problem was they pump fake on the three-point line a ton. And I hadn't watched a lot of their game film going into this. I hadn't really seen them much other than Joel Embiid highlights, and that dude is, you know, the truth, the process. He looks like he's going to be a great pro in the NBA. But they pump fake a lot on the three-point line, and they do that knowing, you know, teams might bite on it because they're shooting so much from deep. Pelicans bit on, like, every single one tonight. I don't have the time of my day, but someone should go back in this game and look at how many Pelicans, how often they would bite on a pump fake, because it was nearly every possession or multiple times a possession. It was pretty bad. So you have a guy like Ersan Ilyasova for the 76ers. He's a big who shoots threes. He scored 23 points tonight. How many three-pointers do you think he made? Pause for you guys to think about it. He made two. He had seven shots inside pretty much because any time he was on the three-point line and got the ball, he pump faked. Pelican bit, jumped, was out of position, and he just blew by him for an easy, you know, look at the rim. There was no rim protection from them tonight, also because they had a guy out, you know, off after biting on the pump fake jumping. It was horrible. It happened constantly. Anthony Davis did it a ton. Omer Asik wasn't really defending him on the perimeter, so that wasn't a problem there. But you saw Tim Frazier do it. You saw Solomon Hill do it. It was just really bad defending overall. In this game, it was funny because Solomon Hill said it after the game. He says the Pelicans got lucky tonight. Pelicans got lucky in a game they lost by 11. One, that quote just kind of, if you're a fan, should bug you a lot tonight. It's really weird to say you got lucky in an 11-point loss. It makes me, oh my God. Anyway, so got lucky because, frankly, if they made a lot of their shots that were open, Philly does, and they shoot better, this game is even worse if you're a Pelicans fan. It could lost by 20 tonight. Easily. It's disgusting to a then 4-win Philadelphia team that doesn't put points up on the board. 30th ranked offense. And they had a great offensive rating tonight. Just mind-blowing. A lot of that's on the players. Again, don't bite on pump fakes. Know this. Let them at least maybe shoot the three. Or at least for a little while, try that method. So a lot of this is on the players not knowing where to be on defense, not having the court awareness, the basketball IQ, and biting on the pump fakes. But a lot of this is on the coaching staff, the scouting staff. If Philly pump fakes a lot on the three-point line over the season, and I don't know if they do, someone who's watched more of them could tell you this, but if they do that, the Pelican staff needs to identify that and then coach it into the players. But by the third quarter, I could have told you how this was going to go. They were going to pump fake and then drive. I'm screaming it up in the stands. People around me were like, yeah, this is happening all the time. Well, if I can see this up there, the coaches certainly can see this. And then in timeouts, at halftime, in between quarters, whenever it is, coach this into your players to not do that. Stay on your feet. Don't leave it. They were leaving their feet constantly. And that's, again, why Philly scored like they did. And, you know, the pace was down for this game. But they had a high offensive rating. Simple. They shot 30% from three. You think they could have blown this team out if they had coached well, or shot well. Just unbelievably disappointing. Now, going to the other side of the ball, the other huge problem was this offense. So, Pelicans had a lead at halftime. They were up by five. Life was good. Everyone, you know, there was much rejoicing. And then in the third quarter, they come out and they score 12 points. And in the fourth quarter, they score 19 points. And got outscored, you know, by, was it 16 points in that period of time? Something like that? Yeah, enough, basically. Just terrible. 12 points in the third quarter when you have Anthony Davis on the floor. No, it's not okay. I don't know what was going on. You know, it looks like they came out and just weren't, thought maybe they could sleepwalk over this Philadelphia team. Davis had a fairly pedestrian game for him with 26 points and 11 rebounds. You know, it was bad. The offense just wasn't there. And it was interesting because Alvin Gentry said he started it before the game too, but he started Alexi Ajinsa to try and give Davis some more spacing to kickstart this offense. And then he gets pulled in, I think it was 2 minutes and 17 seconds into the game because he got two quick fouls. This is his problem. This roster just isn't good. I think we all need to accept that. You know, every year we let Dell Demps talk us into this roster. We get excited because it's the start of a fresh year and anything can happen. And, you know, we bought into Solomon Hill maybe being a contributor on the offensive end. You know, maybe he was going to hit the threes, you guys, in the corner. No, we know what a lot of this team is now. The one guy who you think could improve on this team from what they already are is Buddy Hield, who started tonight as well. But overall, offensively, they are bad. Anthony Brown, a guy you hope and wish and want him to be a good player, but you know he's not going to be. Missed every shot he took tonight. Didn't have any points. None. And that's in 17 minutes. And he didn't score. That's a serious chunk of time on the court. Solomon Hill, 8 points. He played almost 40 minutes. Ajinsa only got 13 minutes, and he was your freaking starter. And while he was out there on the court, the Pelicans were getting killed by Philly rebounding offensively. If he's going to get pulled that quickly and not give you anything, don't start him. Start Oshik and at least win the battle on the glass and deal with the offense. Langston Galloway, streaky, can play well. He had a couple of big threes. He was the only other guy who had a big game tonight for the Pelicans. He was the only other guy in double figures. Doesn't help that Holiday's still out right now, that Moore's still out. But again, Moore's going to give you 12 points. He's not going to give you 20, 25. Holiday might, but he's still getting back into form. And at times, he started to cool down since, you know, he had that good streak to start the year. So just absolutely just atrocious by the Pelicans. Buddy Hield, like I said, started, got 35 minutes tonight, 34 minutes. He scored 6 points tonight. 6 points. Had the highest individual offensive rating for the Pelicans tonight. That's how bad this is. That's how much of a mess this roster is in this team. And again, I don't know if this is really on Gentry. He's going to likely be the fall guy if anyone is one and the scapegoat. But could anyone coach this team and get them to score? I don't think so. They just don't have the horses. They don't have the players here to do it. And that's the problem. That's the loss tonight. You looked at this and thought maybe they should beat Philly. They have 4 wins. Maybe they had more talent than the Pelicans did tonight, which is really sad to say because they were without Nerlens Noel, without Okafor, without Jared Bayless. They did get Robert Covington back. That was a little bit nice for him. But they were missing some big key contributors tonight. And they still beat the Pelicans by 11. It's unacceptable. Simply is. Whether that's Dell Demps building the roster this way or Alvin Gentry coaching them this way or Darren Erman coaching the defense this way. It was bad all around. And that's going to lead into the next part of the podcast where we're going to talk about if people should be fired, if people will be fired. Now, before I do that, I want to tell you guys, if you want to listen to things that are good basketball and happy stuff, which is not this podcast today, and might not be good coming on Monday, depending on what happens and transpires over the weekend, listen to the Locked On NBA podcast. Listen to if there's any other team you're interested in. There's podcasts for that team, too, as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. There's someone covering every NFL team, every NBA team, and they're all coming to you guys 5 days a week. If you play fantasy sports, listen to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball, the Locked On Fantasy Football. If you're more excited about the draft and scouting, there's an NFL draft podcast. It's really good. These guys go through so much film. It's unbelievable and know everything about these prospects. It's a lot of fun to listen to. And definitely listen to Locked On NBA with David Locke. Covers the league. What's really cool, they bring on anonymous coaches, head coaches, assistant coaches in the league to give you their thoughts. You're not getting that kind of take anywhere else, that kind of insight anywhere else where you get a coach to come in and tell it like it is and tell it like they see it. That's just an unbelievable feature of this Locked On Podcast Network and the reach it's starting to have. So make sure you're listening to those. There's also Locked On Saints. I know how many guys of you are, you know, football fans. You all are. And if you root for a different team, there's someone else covering a different team for you. I listen to Locked On Colts all the time. It's great. So make sure you're listening to those, subscribing to those, and also subscribing to Locked On Pelicans. Okay, so the part I'm sure everyone's waiting for, and that's do people get fired? And the answer is I don't know. What's going to drive me absolutely insane is I have to go to jury duty today, this Friday. And so if something happens, you know I want to record an emergency. We'll call it emergency. The bat signal is going to go up, and I got to get to the recording studio. The recording studio being a table at my house or the TV tray at my girlfriend's house, depending on where I bring the mic and when I'm recording, the bat signal goes up and I got to record, especially if Gentry gets fired tomorrow and Del Demps gets fired or both. And I don't know if either is going to happen and I'm going to be in jury duty. Hopefully not all day. We're going to see. And I'll try and get you guys a podcast as soon as I can if something happens. Promise you that. So does anyone get fired? You can make the case for both of them. Easy. Like I just said, and we just talked about, this roster is really not good. I got to ask David Locke, head of the Locked On Podcast Network. He's got a few stats that talk about offense only. And basically, it's like a wins above replacement stat, it sounds like. Points above average player, essentially. And I have to figure the Pelicans are going to be basically last in the league, if you know, or right there if they're not the actual last. Solomon Hill's not giving you much offensively. Langston Galloway's a spot-up shooter that is so, so streaky. Buddy Hield, not playing well. Give him time. Eventually he should. But right now he's not. No one outside of Anthony Davis is giving you anything. At one point, Terrence Jones was doing okay. He's cooled off and starting to fall out of the rotation some more. Anthony Brown missed every shot he took tonight. I could say something about every player. I'm not going to. So is this really on Gentry? You know, not necessarily. You know, again, Demps assembled this roster. He's been here for however long, and he's made the playoffs twice. And one year, that was that first year he was here, it wasn't really him. That team was already in place. He made a few little moves around it, which certainly helped get them there. But they snuck in. They were the seventh seed that year, not the eighth. But, like, again, you know, that wasn't his team in building it. And he's had a time since that to build this team. He got lucky and landed a super-duper star in Anthony Davis. The first thing you need to be a title contender, the first step towards moving towards that. And you couldn't do anything with it. He tried. And like I've said on the podcast before, I understand his strategy, the young vets. Anthony Davis accelerated the timeline. There wasn't any point in putting someone on a different timeline than him. So trade for guys who have already proven it in the NBA and can do it. Well, it hasn't worked out. He whiffed on the players. You know, again, you can say the logic and the idea was there to build this team, but he screwed it up when he did it and when he executed. Simple. So you'd say he should lose his job easily. Personally, I don't think, you know, making a move midseason is going to do anything. I think it just might worsen the situation if you fire Demps, and you know who's gonna put in charge of it anyway. They don't really have anyone else on the staff who could take over in an interim role that you'd necessarily want to. You know, and again, Danny Ferry's only doing this part time. I don't know how much he's been consulting for the team anymore now that it's not the off season. And he and Del Demps are such good friends. You've got to wonder if he would actually want to take that job from someone who's a friend of his, if maybe he just wouldn't do that to his buddy Del Demps. And that's, you know, certainly a possibility. Ferry will eventually get another GM job, and you might get one that's better than this situation here in New Orleans. So I think at this point Demps should go. You got to get someone in here who's going to try something different, or maybe scout players differently and see different things. I think Demps is really good at finding fringe players to fill out your roster, but he's clearly made some bad moves, or moves that haven't worked out due to injuries or otherwise. You know, in filling out the core of the team. And if you thought, you know, he spent a lot of money on Eric Gordon, traded Gustavo Ayon, who's not really around anymore, for Ryan Anderson. And those guys aren't here anymore. If those guys were the core, you got to build around the core and you don't re-sign them. So that's an issue here. Not that, you know, I don't think he necessarily should have re-signed them, but still. So, you know, that's a huge, huge, huge problem here. So, again, I don't think moving him or firing him midseason is going to do anything. So, Alvin Gentry, the coach, again, like I said, could anyone coach this team super well right now? Probably not. But the problem is Gentry is considered an offensive coach, and this offense is bad. Simple. You know, this offense isn't good. They put up an offensive rating tonight against the 20th-ranked defense of, let me get it, of 92.9. No, like it's not good. There's problems here. And again, like I said, I'm going to keep saying this. I don't know if anyone could have coached these guys up. You bring in Phil Jackson, Red Auerbach, Pop. I don't think you're getting a great offense out of these guys because they're just not good players. And at some point, you know, it's a talent-driven league. But again, he's an offensive coach, and you should expect better than this putrid mess that it was tonight. Empty possessions, scoring 12 points in a quarter, 19 points in a quarter. They should have better results than they've had. even with the talent that they do. That's plainly simple and obvious to see. And it was interesting. So in the after the press conference, I don't have the audio of it. Gentry said, "I don't really give a blank about my job status." And that's a quote people latched on to and was like, "Ooh, that looks bad and sounds bad." And taking that quote by itself does sound bad because it seems like something you should care about. But he followed it up with, and he said, "I'm going to work hard and I'm going to coach until the day they tell me I'm not the coach here anymore. It doesn't matter. I don't ever worry about that. That isn't anything that I spend 5 seconds worrying about. My worry is how do I get the guys in the locker room to play at the level that I want them to. That's where all my effort goes. It doesn't go anywhere else." Good. That should be your effort. But the problem is they come out flat. They do. They came out flat tonight. And think about it. Philly probably looked at this game on their schedule and was like, "Oh, that's a winnable game for us." And probably came in guns blazing and with more energy than they would have had they played the Warriors or the Spurs, where they know they're suffering a defeat. Here they thought they could win, which tells you about the state of affairs of basketball in New Orleans, but they thought they could win. And they came out flat, and you need to get your team's energy up and getting that level matching the opponents. And Gentry didn't do it tonight. Again, the coaching issues, you see the same mistakes repeated over and over and over again. Getting guys not to bite on pump fakes is a coaching thing. Part of that's on players too. But at a certain point, you got to coach them into that. And unfortunately, the Pelicans didn't. And that's incredibly, incredibly disappointing. And that's, you know, one of the reasons they lost here. So yeah, you can make a claim that Gentry should be fired too. He should be having more success than he is. He should be having better offense than he is. He's an offensive coach. You have Anthony Davis who's putting up, you know, 31, 32 points a game, grabbing a ton of boards. Dude's doing it all, and you can't get anyone else to do it for him, to help him out. So that's the problem here. The issue if you let him go is, yeah, maybe do you elevate someone on the staff? So do you pump up Darren Erman? The defense has looked like a mess. Yeah, it's ranking a little bit higher this year, but it's starting to regress to really where it should be now that we've got a larger sample size of games. So I don't know if you want to make Erman your head coach. What's he going to do differently offensively? He's going to follow the same principles that Gentry was using, and the defense won't change because it's how he runs the defense. He's in charge of it. That won't change at all. So I don't think you can put Erman there. You maybe get Robert Pack as your interim head coach. He's undefeated in summer league. And maybe the guys just respond to him and his energy level a little bit. And maybe they listen to him if they're not already listening to Alvin Gentry, and I don't know if that's the case. But does it really change that much? Probably not. I don't think that's going to matter in this case. So I don't think you need to fire him mid-season. What else does it do? You know, a lot of people point to and say they can start looking at, you know, future head coaches. Well, they can do that now anyway, even with Gentry under contract. There's nothing saying they can't reach out to other people. That happens all the time in different sports, especially in college football. So I don't think that's going to matter here. If they want to let him go, it's just they need to, you know, they feel they need to make a change. And again, it's not going to affect on-court performance. But there is one thing it'll affect. And I've talked about this in we call it the Pelican Scoop, the round table thing over at bourbonstreetshots.com, which is up today and something you should definitely read. There's one thing that making a coaching change or a GM change will do, and that will show accountability to fans. Right now, people think Benson isn't around or that he doesn't care about this team and they just want to make money, he's cheap, whatever. Whether it's true or not, and I can't tell you that, a lot of people are frustrated that this team is kind of mired in lower than mediocrity right now. You see Anthony Davis having these great games. And they want someone to answer for it, and that's an understandable thing. It's easy to put the blame on someone rather than just accept the situation is for what it is, so I understand. And the problem is Demps has been here for so long, basically just one playoff appearance with the team, fired a head coach who had a was improving every year with the team, and they want accountability, and everyone wants accountability for everything in life. You don't like to see someone just kind of skating by, especially if it was your job too. So they want to see some accountability from ownership, knowing that ownership cares about this team. That it matters to them that they don't accept the status quo here. They don't accept the current state of the franchise. Firing Gentry or Demps will do that. It'll send that message loud and clear to Pelicans fans that, hey, this isn't okay. We understand. We're going to do what we can. Do what they can is a nebulous thing, of course. And maybe they're going to be cheap and not hire someone else. Who knows? Or someone good, or they don't want to pay someone. But it still shows accountability to fans. And that's something that's been lacking a little bit with this franchise. And while I don't agree with it to the extent that a lot of people have been kind of sprouting it off on Twitter, things like that. But unfortunately, it's just, you got to do something. Probably need to do something. And that one thing you can really do right now, you know, they're not about to make a huge trade for anyone. That one thing you can really do right now is fire someone. And maybe that's what's going to happen today. Pelicans play, what is it, Saturday and Sunday? On the West Coast, quick trip to the Clippers and the Suns. You know, you figure maybe you don't want to coach, maybe let him coach through that and then fire him before the next home game, which is against the Golden State Warriors. Though, again, do you really want to throw a new head coach in there? You also could probably let these three games play out, which, let's say they go 0-3 over these next couple of games, makes it maybe a little bit easier to sell people on him with what it is. So, interesting take on things. So, who knows what's going to happen. If news does break any day but Saturday, I'm going to be out of town for Saturday. I'll be back Sunday. I'm here tomorrow. We'll get an emergency podcast for you guys up on Locked On Pelicans. I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to find out. Again, I'm in jury duty. This is awful. On a day when probably I just want to talk with you guys on Twitter all day and talk basketball. It would be kind of fun and just relaxing. Or get my blood boiling, but I can do it on a couch where I'm relaxing. So we'll find out what happens. Fans want accountability. Accountability is not a bad thing to have. It would send a message. It won't change the fortune of this season. It won't change the course of the season. But accountability by itself isn't a bad thing. So thank you all for listening. Rough loss for the Pelicans against the 76ers. Absolute dumpster fires. No other way, you know, around that. So we'll see what happens. Again, thank you guys for listening. I'm Jake Madison, your host, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, retweet, whatever it is with the podcast. Get the word out there. There's going to be a lot to talk about over the next week or so. So it should be a lot of fun. And you fans are very passionate, and we're going to bring you the best content possible. So enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the two games, and I'll be back with you guys on Monday, if not sooner, if things happen.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.